They're at least going to be in the streets going nuts. We know that for a fact. So any city in the world, they'll be there. So I don't know. I just think if they can carry it deep, Carey Price will carry him to the victory. That's a lot of carries, but that's what I'm thinking. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Hoser's Panel. I'm one of your hosts, T. Croaks, Tyler Croakman. We are coming to you from a scorcher, live from Victoria, and in person, back again in Mike's basement.
Episode 28.
Episode 28, pardon me, fellas. Stanley Cup edition. We're going. I'm fired up. Of course, I got my boys Mike and Tay here with us. How you doing, Tay?
Oh, man. I am sweaty. It's a scorcher out there. Hottest temperatures we've seen in Victoria.
We're breaking records over here.
It's fucked. So
we got that Tampa Bay heat for game one.
Yeah, Jesus.
We're not afraid to show it. How you doing, Mike?
Good, dude. It's only 40 degrees. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
40 Celsius. That's I don't have that for Fahrenheit for our American listeners, but it's hot.
It's hot.
She hot.
It's not cold.
She hot, boys.
It's not the opposite.
Yeah.
104 Fahrenheit for the American listeners.
Fucked. Means nothing to me, but 40 Celsius is that's hot, man.
We don't see that much. So yeah, we're definitely feeling it. It's a no video kind of pod for us.
Yeah, we're all looking pretty rough.
That's for us and you. But yeah, we're going to get this underway here. We got a couple games to cover, not a ton, because we're getting down to the end here, but the nitty gritty.
Yeah. First of all, Tampa makes it through again. Yeah. Going back to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Defending their title.
Stoked. Couldn't be more happy. It's going to be one hell of a series. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, I mean, like, we recorded right before their 8-0 win.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, never mind. Tampa's, they're here now.
Yeah, there were some doubts. Last pod, I think I ripped them a bit because they were looking a little not very polished. And, I was a little worried, a little nervous. Came out next day and put up an 8 spot on the Islanders, and team that's like notoriously hard to score against. So pretty happy, it'll be interesting for sure.
4 straight series clinchers for Vass with a shutout.
Yeah, Jesus, just, man.
Yeah, just one performance.
Guy's an animal.
He's putting up Conn Smythe numbers left and right here.
As soon as they went up 1-0 in game 6, I was like, oh, I should bet Tampa. They got no goals against. This could be the one.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the Islanders scored, I was like, we got to bet the Islanders. Yeah. Vass is letting a goal.
Yeah.
They're not winning this one.
Yeah.
And, yeah, of course, 1-0 win, game 7.
Yeah, we had 2 game 7s. Man, wicked. Didn't we?
No, we did not.
No.
1 game 6?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Montreal won at 6.
Montreal won at home. And the fucking
right. Sorry.
Yeah.
That was crazy. It looked more appropriate. It looked way more appropriate than the last time their streets went nuts.
Yeah.
I got to admit. Still flipped a car.
Yeah,
but
still flipped a cop car.
Still flipped a cop car, but I think the numbers were much, much, much bigger this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I mean, I think they just announced that they'll have a few more fans in the building, right? But they still only had, 3,000 fans in the building, for game 6, and
yeah,
there was, probably, 20 to 30,000 people outside,
watching, a lot of people
waiting for them to win, and or lose, I guess, and then go out and riot, so, it's interesting, for sure. You'd think that they want to get, they're outside all, in each other's faces anyways, you'd think they want to get them in the building.
But it doesn't make sense, at least make some money off it if they're going to break all the COVID protocols anyway,
in
twice the number of your stadium, at least let them in the goddamn door. I don't know, it bugs me too, they won't let them close to the glass. It looks so awkward, man. And I don't know, maybe it's not like that to the players, they got to be used to it, especially if it's never left Montreal, so I guess it's cool for them, but I don't know. Feels a little awkward. A little bit of an awkward atmosphere there for playoff hockey.
Yeah. Man, what happened to Vegas? They kind of just fell apart, hey?
I'd call that a joke.
Yeah.
I'd call that a joke.
2 years in a row where they looked like to be at least one of the favorites where you'd like to see them in the finals or you'd expect to see them in the finals, and all of a sudden they just choke in the conference or the semifinals, I guess, this year. And it's another season where it's disappointing for Vegas fans, although they peaked pretty early in their tenure, but
they did add a lot. It did look like it might be the year. Goaltending came into question. We know that's one of the major pillars that you need.
Yeah.
So that's a huge bummer for any team. It happens to any team. You're pretty much done. So it's a bummer, but yeah, they come to an end again, second year in a row in the conference final, and them and the New York Islanders, second year in a row.
Yeah.
So that's a tough pill to swallow for both teams, I'm sure. But
oh,
my phone call in the middle of the pod.
Too funny. Some bullshit number too.
That's okay. It's pretty funny.
Hi, Raheem. You're on with Hoser's panel.
Raheem. Yeah, shit.
Are we getting into that?
Might as well.
So,
we had our giveaway. Like we said, it's gonna we picked the winner right after the two series is finished out, and lucky winner Raheem, our boy. I mean.
Been with us from the go here.
Yeah. Is
so it's pretty funny to see that.
Yeah, we ran the simulation on whatever day Tampa won.
We posted
Friday.
We haven't posted it yet.
We'll post it. But Raheem won. He's gonna be joining us soon here to give us his picks to try and double his giveaway win.
Yeah.
So we'll get him on the show pretty shortly here, but for now we'll just
sounds good.
Yeah, congratulations, Raheem, though. Fucking beauty.
Yeah, big win. First ever Hoser's panel giveaway. There'll be more coming.
Yeah.
We got more ideas and up our sleeves coming out in the next couple of years or year or whatever. So stay. You never know.
More in the vault, fellas.
So stay tuned for those. Those are coming out for sure. I wanted to touch on both Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty in Game 6. Big overtime loss. Obviously, Montreal moves on, but both Stone and Pacioretty had season low ice time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stone was on the ice for 17 minutes and Pacioretty 14.
Wow.
And a half. Yeah. And so it kind of just shows you that DeBoer, you can rely on them those games. And you know what? It showed. Obviously, the Deneau line, Phil Deneau himself. Shutting down that top line and taking away the biggest scoring presence that Vegas does have. Obviously, them not having a top tier center, I think, probably really hurt them as well. It's a big factor, and as soon as you shut down your one or two top guys, it's hard to generate anything else.
You do have to think too that wear and tear in this wear and tear for Vegas in 2-7 game series. Where the opposing team, I'm sorry, 1-6, 1-7, but both just wars.
Yeah.
And every series that they were in seemed to be enticing, physical, and almost a surprise. And everyone had mad firepower. So to see them start slowing down isn't too much of a surprise, but you just don't expect it because they just had never seemed to slow down either. So unfortunate, but I do think that that 7-game series followed by an immediate follow-up of the 6-game series, like the next day or a day after the break.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, so I think that probably played a factor, at least in the goaltending, too. It would make sense. Those guys are getting up there. So, yeah, I don't know. Too bad. And, man, it really did look like Pacioretty and Stone were going to be the golden gooses for these guys.
Yeah.
But, they slowed down, too.
If they were going to win, they needed them going, and they weren't going, and that was the series.
I thought they stole it from Colorado just by those guys shining.
Yeah,
I was
totally.
Shit. I
agreed.
Just can't stop them.
I mean, that's like peak Philip Deneau, though, right? That's exactly the style that they kind of missed in the regular season.
Yeah.
Him just shutting down top guys, still putting up his own points. And, he got the assist on the OT winner in Game 6 and held Vegas down to nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, him and also the Suzuki-Caulfield line. They look so good. Suzuki, is really coming into his own as a higher tier center. Obviously, he's still young. He's still got a lot of proving to do. It's one playoff run, but, man, he looks good. Caulfield's just electric. We've said it week after week.
Yeah.
He's just so fun to watch. There was one, he scored in game six. He scored the second goal for Montreal, and it was so nice. He picked up a pass, but as he was taking the pass, he chipped it up over the defenseman's stick, beats the defenseman wide without the puck on his stick, picks up the puck, protects it, and then just shelves it over Leonard's shoulder. And, man, it was just so much confidence from such a young kid in the league. So really fun to watch, for sure. We've been saying it every week. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, and the stage is set for that guy, too. A rookie going into the Stanley Cup final, your first season, coming in late to help the team and being an impact player since you got there. So, yeah, the stage is set for this guy. He could really, really make a name for himself in his first ever Stanley Cup playoffs here.
This series is going to be just like, I think it's just like Montreal-Vegas, right? Like, it was so intriguing to see how the play styles were going to clash and teams actually playing other teams now.
Yeah.
You really have no idea. Like, you can't really put anything like that either team did as tangible evidence of why the team's going to win, right? Because they never faced any familiar foes. Just like last year, I think this series is going to be just as intense and just as crazy and unpredictable as ever.
Yeah. Faced familiar foes. That was incredible. I really liked that.
I'm surprised I got it out that without flubbing it either.
I had a double take what you said.
Oh, that was great. Quickly, going into, Tampa, Montreal. They've obviously played each other in the playoffs before.
Yeah.
I fucking hate Montreal in the playoffs every single year. Notably, I think it was like 2016, maybe a year before that, or 2014. Anyways, doesn't matter. Tampa plays them in the first round, and fucking Carey Price.
Yep.
Again, like, they ran into Carey Price, and they just couldn't score. Obviously, Montreal didn't make the finals or go as far as they have this year, but it's a little worrying. Like, they look real hot against Tampa in the past, so it'll be good. What do you guys think Conn Smythe was?
As we stand right now.
Yeah, going into it, like, who are your favorites?
Oh man, I'm looking at Vasilevskiy, Point, and Price are my first three right off the bat.
Yeah, agreed. If Montreal wins, you can't give it to anybody else.
No,
but Price.
No, 100%.
And then, yeah, for Tampa, I would say Braden Point. The guy's kind of setting records.
Yeah, a little bit.
Goals in a row, but
I did a survey just for fun on NHL.com, popped up for me on Facebook today, and it was asking me, like, some funny questions about the series. One of them was, like, who do you think's going to have the most, most assists or most points? And Point was up there at, like, eight faces, and I was like, I'm pretty sure it'll be him. Like,
yeah.
And all those players, I couldn't believe I was picking him, but I was like, yeah, I don't know. That guy's on fire, can dish it, is so deadly around the net.
Yeah.
If Montreal doesn't win, how many wins do they need before you start thinking Carey Price could win Conn Smythe as a losing goalie?
One?
He just needs one win?
One win. I think so. To get that team there, like, he stole every series, would say.
That almost never happens, right? Opposing team.
I think
team.
Except for Winnipeg, he stole basically
all
the series. Yeah.
Jaguar was the last one to do it.
Yeah.
The opposing
with,
team?
With Anaheim. Yeah,
I think it has to be a goalie. I can't see, like, a player losing the cup final.
Right.
Yeah.
And then not. And then
unless they had, like,
it.
40 points
in
20 games or whatever to get there. But, yeah. Yeah, I could see it. I mean, maybe one or two, yeah. I don't know. It's tough.
Fuck, give Corey Perry the Conn Smythe.
It depends. If every game is like 1-0, 2-1, 3-2 even, like, and Price is making like 30 saves a night, like, yeah, you give it to him for sure. Even if Tampa wins. I would not be upset with that at all.
Yeah, I think they have to win two for me to, like, be like, you know what? Carey Price deserves it. Because it's just so unprecedented that it's like, It's just weird to give it to anybody else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, like, if it goes seven, especially if they're, like, close games or, like, the ones he wins was, like, crazy stand-on-their-head moments.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be mad, definitely, seven games. Six games would probably be where it has to get to.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, you never know, too. If one of these guys just starts putting up a shutout or two, it's so close that if you did something that amazing, even if someone were, like, even if a certain player were to just be an absolute hero in the finals, you know, they might just, I've seen that, we've seen that before too, where someone just like has a crazy performance in the, or like a couple OT winners, and then, you know, maybe the Stanley Cup winner game seven, and all of a sudden the Conn Smythe's just wrapped up.
Yeah. No,
well, I think definitely like Tampa, it's a lot more wide open if you could win it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like anybody can have a good series, like Stamkos can come up with eight goals in six games, and it's like, well, I mean, how do you not give to that guy?
It's just not that narrow yet.
Yeah.
We definitely got to see half this series.
Yeah. I think, like, last...
Front runners for sure.
Yeah, I mean, last year, with Tampa winning it, it was really down to Point and or Hedman. Mm-hmm. Hedman obviously won it, but I think Point's really, like, fuck, like, I want my Conn Smythe. Like, I played really well, and he's pushing himself to get it. So I think that's his, I mean, obviously they want to win the Stanley Cup, but there's motivation there for him to, you know, like, perform better individually. So.
Current odds right now, Vasilevsky leads the way at plus 175, so just under 2-1 odds. Carey Price is plus 240. Then you got Kucherov and Point both at 4-1. And then they're leaps and bounds ahead of everybody. Stamkos is next at 20-1. The next Hab is Caulfield. Caulfield, Suzuki, and Toffoli all at 66-1.
Jeez.
Yeah. So
Suzuki.
That's fair.
That'd be wicked. That'd be nuts.
Kucherov has, hold on, I'm just going to tell you how many points he has.
The amount of a lock that Carey Price is to win the Conn Smythe if Montreal wins, he's plus 240 to win the Conn Smythe. Montreal is plus 235 to win the series. So it's like the exact same odds.
Yeah. Holy fuck. That's crazy.
Kucherov. Honestly, I would put money on Carey Price before I do the Habs, because, I mean, like we said, there's a chance that he wins if Tampa wins. Yeah, so
totally.
You're getting basically the same odds for...
Yeah. Yeah, if you think that Montreal is going to win the series, lay money on Price winning the Conn Smythe, because if they win the series, 100% he's winning the Conn Smythe, and there's an opportunity where he could win it even if they lose the series. So, and if it's the same odds, you're getting the same payout, so why not? Yeah, Kuch has 27 points.
Yeah.
So he's doing quite well. I think the rest really gave him time to... You know, sit back, think about what he wants to do coming into this playoff. And
man, I'm seeing more and more of that cap thing every day.
Yeah.
On my news feed.
So annoying. Yeah, we were literally just watching a press conference with Bill Daly and Gary Bettman, and they got asked a question about how can you let a team ice a team or ice a lineup like this, and would you look into enforcing a cap for the playoffs as well and all that stuff, and they're just like, well, I mean, this has worked since 2005. Like, team is aware of all the requirements and all that kind of stuff. And as long as there's no fishy business with, like, a Kucherov not actually being injured kind of thing, which has been determined that he was injured.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how... It's just... they just took advantage of the CBA and knowing cap rules. Like, that... It should not be a problem. And there was things being brought up, like... Chicago in 2015, I think?
Yeah.
They were, like, $6 or $7 million over the cap as well. Same kind of scenario, but no one's bitching about it. It's just...
Yeah.
It's because it's Tampa and everybody's sick of them winning, and it's just like, they are doing things right.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because majority of, like, the bitching that you're hearing is probably media or, like,
100%.
Fans that are disgruntled because, they don't want to see Tampa win again because they are winning. And I hear you. Like, fuck, when Pittsburgh won two in a row, I was pissed. Like, I didn't want to keep seeing Sid and Gino win a cup. Like, somebody else has got to get in there and win it, right? So... I hear you. I get it.
I read a good one. I think it was yesterday and today, and I thought I saved it. I can't find it, but it was something like in year 2000 or like early 2000s. Tampa Bay brought something to the league's attention about the cap, and it was looked at.
Yeah.
And then they're like, and it's kind of funny how like the next time it's like a major problem.
It was literally the year
Chicago one. Yeah.
Was it that one? Okay, my bad. Yeah.
2015, Chicago beat Tampa in the finals, and Tampa brought the cap earlier that playoff to their
to the attention of the attention, board or whatever. Thank you. Of course.
And they did nothing about it.
Yeah.
So Tampa was like, well, exactly.
We haven't really seen any, like, there was, I think Dougie Hamilton said something as they were leaving.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, he had a nice quote about being $18 million over the cap.
Yeah, but that's like the only thing. We haven't seen any like GM, like easily Mark Bergevin could have been like, well, I was just, you know, he could say something. I don't know what he would say, but
I wouldn't be surprised if he did, but...
It doesn't do anything, though, like, unless you're making an excuse for once you're losing, but...
Well, and at the end of the day, like, they're $18 million over the cap this year. If Kucherov wasn't hurt, they would have done something different to be cap compliant.
Yeah, oh, 100%. They would have to be.
And whether that's move a player out or whatever, they would have done whatever's right for the team to give the team the best opportunity to win. And arguably, they'd still be there. Obviously, it's like they would have made the playoffs for sure. And they wouldn't have gotten rid of somebody like Kucherov, Point, Hedman, Vasilevsky, who have been the best players. Stamkos is my thought on like who they would trade or who they would move. He's been almost non-existent this playoffs. He's had the one good game when they won 8-0. He had like 5 points.
Yeah, but exactly.
Other than that, like, that's it. So arguably they'd still very much be in this situation at the cap.
Yeah, no. I just find it funny that it's come up so much at the end because we knew about it, we talked about it, but then just like all of a sudden, I feel like it's made a big comeback. It just keeps getting
talked about, and it's like everybody knows that unless you're bitching about it, like everybody else has realized, like
yeah.
It's all cap. It's they are over the cap, but they're cap compliant, right? Yeah. Like they're going with the cap rules. So yeah, like that's it's the good
league's,
on them.
League's problem at this right? point. Yeah.
If they win, it's going to be a little bit of a shitstorm online. Good. I think about that.
Probably, yeah. But you know what? They change it. Yeah. I mean, they don't. But like, yeah, what's anyone supposed to do?
It's so true.
It's not like yeah, like if they wanted, like if Kucherov was healthy, then they wouldn't have been like, oh, let's just not do this. Like if I'm trying to think of another team, but like if Malkin has like off-season shoulder surgery and is coming back in April for playoffs. Is that going to change people's opinion on Pittsburgh? Because, oh, they got this guy back. Now they're way over the cap. It's yeah. like, well, they didn't have this guy in the regular season. Like, they
yeah.
still...
It, yeah. Yeah, it's... Yeah, the teams that, like, have done a good job in drafting and developing players to the point where they now have to overpay them and can't afford to ice a roster with their best players. Like, that's a good problem to have. And any team in that situation is going to find a way under the cap, no matter what it is. And it's not like Tampa did it illegally. It's not like anything was like done wrong. Yeah. They followed every rule that the CBA has under like salary cap, under all that. The only thing is that, yeah, there's not a salary cap in the playoffs and people were upset about that.
Yeah, like what would be the response to like all these people bitching, like what would you change?
Yeah,
like other than implementing a cap in the playoffs. But the reason there's no cap in the playoffs is because it gets determined on how people get paid.
Yeah.
And how close they are to the cap. So if you want to do it, there's no set end date for the playoffs, so how do you know how many days you're going to pay these guys and how much salary comes off the books every day?
Yeah,
because like as we know, like when you go, like when you get to like the trade deadline, those $8 million cap players, if you're getting traded, are only like $2 million on the book because $6 million's already been earned by the current team. Yeah. So like what end day do you put it at?
Yeah.
And then that just hurts the trade deadline because instead of Taylor Hall being traded for $1.6 million, he's now getting traded for $4 million.
Yeah.
And it just causes a shitstorm.
Yeah, and only one team can afford him instead of six that are in on him. And yeah. Yeah, it's so bizarre. It's so much more convoluted than just saying, oh, like throw a cap in. Yeah. Like they have to be cap compliant.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Anyways, I think
there's daily cap rules for like waivers and call ups and all these different things all get factored into it where no one thinks about it. And
yeah,
you need a specific end date so you know how much is coming off each books.
Exactly.
You know, whenever you get this deep into the playoffs, there's always like all these little stories that come out, and I just find it weird that this is one that I keep seeing. Mm-hmm. There's other ones too, but like we can break into a couple of those now. Those are always sweet. Pat Maroon going for the three-peat.
Three-peat.
Fuck.
That's kind of sweet. Yeah. Three different teams? No? No.
Two.
Yeah.
He won with Tampa last year.
Yeah, sorry. But that's pretty sweet.
So exciting though for him. Like,
yeah.
Even last year, the storyline of him winning back-to-back
is, yeah.
was so cool.
It's kind of like, just bizarre that it's still going.
Yeah. Guy's a beauty. So.
He's a perfect fit for Tampa. He's,
You
know, he's got a big body, so he can provide a little bit of grit compared to like basically the 18 other guys on Tampa.
The rest of the lineup,
And they have, he's like $700,000. Like it's perfect. It's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and every other forward on that team is speedy and small, basically. Like not a single other one is like big or is gonna come in and like throw a hit or like make a big, I mean you could argue like Yanni Gord's there or whatever, but he's such a good fit for that fourth line for sure.
Alright, I think we're about to bring Raheem on to the podcast.
Beauty.
Here. Giveaway winner, he's gonna give us our picks and I think we can probably do our we'll picks at the same time.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we are pleased to be welcome with our first ever Hosers panel giveaway winner. Our boy Raheem, he's coming to us live from his phone somewhere in Victoria. And, he's about to give us our picks, or his picks, and we'll give ours as well for the Stanley Cup Final. Raheem, well, first of all, congrats on winning the first giveaway and being the first ever guest on Hoser's panel.
Hey, I appreciate it. It's quite the honor, and, you know, I've been listening to the first dozen or so episodes consistently. Life gets in the way, but it's good to see local boys like yourself putting out some good content out there.
Yeah, buddy, we appreciate it. It's awesome to get your support, you know. Yeah, fucking loving what you're doing out there. Personal training now, so it's awesome to see, and it's just nice, so happy to have you on, and love the support.
Yeah, I'm glad, and it's been, you know what, this Stanley Cup final in particular is a tough one. I haven't been really paying attention to that much playoff hockey, but I'm excited to give my pick here in a minute.
Yeah, well, be careful who you pick, because, you know, my boys, the Tampa Bay Lightning, are there, and you don't want to upset a host.
That's true.
You can accept one host or the entire nation of Canada. Yeah. You can pick a choice.
That one's on you.
I'll pick my poison. Yeah. So, you know, I've watched a lot of the North Division this year, especially as a Canucks fan, and very disappointed with their season. But anyways, Montreal, to me, kind of really stuck out from the start, especially beating Toronto in the first game. Josh Anderson has been a great pickup for them, I think. I keep forgetting to have Corey Perry and Eric Staal on their team. And yeah, how can you forget about Carey Price as well, right?
Yeah, they're deep.
So it tears me, because, you know, I'd like to see Tampa be this, you know, second team in the last decade or so to go back to back. But honestly, I'm picking the Habs in seven here.
Really? Habs in seven. I don't hate it, Raheem. I don't hate it.
Tough pick for sure.
Yeah.
Super tough.
It's tough, yeah.
Totally. If it goes to game seven, the Habs better win, honestly. Tampa did something wrong, I think. It's either Tampa in five or the Habs in seven. That's my thought about it.
Gotcha.
I like it. I like that pick, Raheem. You didn't hurt my feelings too much.
No, I like that a lot too. Are we jumping in right after onto that?
Yeah, we can do ours right now as well.
Yeah, yeah. Raheem, I'm right with you, man. I'm thinking Habs in seven as well. I just think that the journey that the Habs have had to go to this finals, to the playoffs especially, season as well, has just been a lot softer. I really think that they're just a fresher team at this time. And I think if they can take the series deep, if they can steal a couple of games with Price's goaltending, especially in Tampa where it's going to be nuts. However, I think they might even have home ice there. Who knows? I mean, we know how crazy Canadian fans are, and I don't know. They're at least going to be in the streets going nuts. We know that for a fact. So where any city in the world, they'll be there. So I don't know. I just think if they can carry it deep, Carey Price will carry him to the victory. That's a lot of carries, but that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I hear you. I think, man, I'm gonna take Tampa. I can't not take Tampa. Absolutely. I'm gonna go Tampa in six. But my biggest thing is, I think Carey Price could steal the series for sure. I'd be a lot more confident in Price stealing the series if Vasilevsky wasn't on the other end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very true.
I think they kind of just even each other out, and I would say Tampa's team is just more skilled. At the end of the day, it is what it is. All the cards are on the table. It's the final series of the year, so we'll see, and we'll get to watch it play out. But yeah, I'm gonna go Tampa in six.
Yeah, I mean, the Habs, they keep, first it was John Tavares, then it was Mark Scheifele, then Chandler Stephenson didn't come back until game five. They haven't faced the number one center, so either Point's going to light him up or Point's going down with a hip injury in the first game. Soon to be determined. I think I have to go with the Bolts as well. I picked Montreal as my dark horse to win the cup in the first ever prediction episode three, and I don't think I've picked them yet in the playoffs. But yeah, I think Bolts, they just have so much talent. They've run over everybody. I'm going to go Bolts in... I don't want to say six because you said six.
No,
I'll say Bolts in five.
I really, really think if it's a shorter series that the only team that's running over anyone in this series is Tampa.
Yeah.
But I think if they can grind them out, Montreal stands a good chance of just wearing them down like they have everybody else.
Totally. Yeah. Agreed. Cool, man. Well, Raheem, appreciate you coming on, giving us your pick and your insight. I'm sorry to hear about your season as a Canucks fan. It's a rough one. Hopefully, we hadn't touched on it yet, but hopefully the Sedin's coming in and stepping in as an advisory role to Benning. We'll maybe make some changes there, and we'll see some better stuff out of the Canucks organization coming forward. But yeah, we appreciate you coming on and giving us your pick. Congrats on winning.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, no
truly
problem.
Congratulations, Raheem. You really have been there from the start. The support's been awesome and unreal. Really helped us get going. And, we really appreciate that from you. So happy to see you win. And hopefully we can get together for one of these games and avoid this heat somewhere.
Yeah. We don't want to be melting and shit. But, as for the Sedins, like, I think it's more of a PR move, but we'll see how things pan out over the next season. But, thanks again, guys. I really appreciate coming on and giving my 2 cents of my predictions.
Yeah, thanks, Raheem. Anything you want to plug right now? Anything you got going on?
No, other than just being a personal trainer right now at Anytime Fitness, those that are in the local Victoria area, you can come on down, get a membership, sign up, and, you know, I just want to help people basically feel a bit more confident and, you know, get them in the direction that they want to go with their body, because fitness is quite the journey, and I'm still on my journey right now as we speak.
Great. Right on, man. Is there a specific location for people in Victoria or just anywhere for Anytime Fitness?
You can come see me at Telecom. So I'm
Telecom Beauty.
Yeah.
We got to plug that Instagram in there too. What's that Insta?
My Instagram is confidence_fitness. You can find a lot of content through there.
Beauty.
Wicked, man. Well, thanks again for coming on. We're so happy to have you. And enjoy the rest of the playoffs, man. You're a beauty.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Raheem. You too. See you, buddy.
Take it easy, bud. Bye. Okay. So yeah, fuck, hilarious colonoscopies. Oh my god.
Should we like say why we're talking about colonoscopies? Okay, so, or...
we don't have to.
I guess not.
I'll take the bullet.
Okay. Okay, let's do it.
So I love colonoscopies and take that part out. Okay. So randomly this came up, but a great story about colonoscopies. So I had one once, just a quick one really, but hilarious. I had one, they gave me this, like, whatever, right? I go under, I wake up, and there's fucking pictures everywhere. Like, the whole desk, I'm waking up, coming to, the nurse comes in. Like, you know, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Like, start getting on my phone, have water. And there's, like, on my little table, I'm like, pull over onto me, there's, like, 30 pictures. Like, so many. And I was like, what are these? And she's like, oh, you were, like, you asked for photos. And then the doctor comes in, and I was like, I asked for photos? She's like, yeah, nonstop. Like, the entire time you wanted photos, you're cold. I was like, I didn't get them to you. He's like, you were pretty funny. And I woke up at 30. I didn't keep or anything, but I was just like, I didn't want them, didn't remember it.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah, so don't put me out. I'll say the darndest things.
Man, yeah, the drugs they give you for that. The whole reason we're talking about this is because I just had one 2 weeks ago. We had to pause because I had a doctor's call. It took 2 minutes instead of, like, the 20 minutes that I thought it was going to take. Anyways, the whole, like, the drug that they give you to put you out is mind-blowing. Like, you sit there and you're just, like, dazed and, like, feeling real good. And, like, apparently I was talking to the nurse and she's like, yeah, like, do you remember anything from your last one? I was like, not really, like, not much at all. And she's like, well, that's good because, like, the drug we give you causes amnesia. So, like, you shouldn't remember anything. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay. Like, great.
The hard stuff.
Yeah. Dark web stuff. Yeah.
But, like, I fully remember the last one I had just, like, laying there, like, and seeing the screen. The screen's up and, like, obviously it's a camera. And, like, you could watch this camera, like, go through, and it's fucked.
That's
man.
When
like,
I blacked
so
out.
Weird.
It is really. I blacked out. I was like, whoa. And then I guess I started just begging them for photos.
Yeah, anyways. My sick ass. Colonoscopy, hockey, same shit.
different vibe. Anyway, where were we?
Speaking of taking things up the ass, the reffing this fucking playoff.
Segway. Yeah, it's been rough.
Yeah, it has not been good.
Really tough to, where do we stand with it?
I don't know, there hasn't been much since we last talked about. We talked about Corey Perry getting the fucking baseball swing to the nose.
The that was rough.
But, I mean, we'll see how it is in the cup final. Usually these kind of things are get overblown a little bit too much. Like, a couple missed calls is going to happen, but we'll see. One thing about refs that, Wes McCauley, like, just left round three. I think I don't even know if he reffed a game in round three, but they didn't really say why. He was just kind of left the league for a little bit, and he's uncertain to come back for the Stanley Cup final. So in the midst of this like crazy reffing debacle and everything, their basically most well respected and experienced ref is nowhere to be accounted for, unfortunately. So hopefully, if it's a health reason, then hopefully all the best to Wes McCauley. But Yeah, I mean, hopefully he gets back for the cup final, and yeah, if not, then...
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that great. Is odd.
Yeah, hopefully he is okay.
That's too bad. There's nothing I like more than a Wes McCauley call.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, they fire anybody up. The dramatic pause.
We need to talk about Dave Haxtell.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably where I was going to go next as well.
And we already touched on the Sedins with Raheem.
Yeah, Raheem said that he thinks it's more of a PR move. I think it's...
It want could definitely. Touch on that?
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't. Let's touch on that.
Yeah, so.
Let me go take a piss. This is bullshit.
We were going. Mike was ready.
Was that us starting?
I'm pretty sure.
I love it.
Okay, well, can I just put these in the fridge? And...
Yeah.
You like getting ready. And just, I got a piss.
I thought we were like 30 seconds into recording. I was like, oh, that was not actually a bad way to just get going.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny as fuck.
Oh, Jesus.
So the Sedins.
The fucking Sedins. Well, Vancouver loves them, so get them the hell in there for sure.
Yeah, I think, like, partly that's a PR move, I think.
Remember the draft?
I think it definitely could be, right? Like, yeah. They kind of...
It really depends on how serious they want to take it, because it can be a real opportunity.
The timing of it all is like, everybody wanted Jim Benning fired. They're like, well, he's going to come back. And then they're like, hey, the Sedins are coming in, though.
Yeah.
You know, so it definitely looks like one. But yeah, like, it sounds like they're going to do a lot of new work with the new AHL team in Abbotsford. They're special advisors to the GM, which literally can mean anything.
Yeah.
That's... You see a lot of these guys kind of getting that tag who have been in that organization for a long time, and it's kind of just keeping on their career. But,
yeah.
I mean, the Sedins seem devoted. They are extremely hard-working dudes.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, they could flourish in this and just totally. Grow their own opportunities.
Yeah, well, and there's speculation. I was reading that maybe they're, like, or that they're definitely interested. But, like, this is a way for them to learn the business, and then maybe they come in and eventually become Benning's replacement.
Yeah.
Could you imagine this would be the first ever dual GM? Like, you'd have two GMs. Wouldn't that be insane?
That'd be so wild, because, like...
Brothers who were drafted to that franchise and played out their whole career there and over 1,000 games.
Yeah. But it's like, yes, they are twins and stuff, but they're not going to always think on the same wavelength, right? They're not going to be like... They're not going to have the exact same opinion on each guy. I mean, they could.
You'd think that.
They sure seem to, though.
Watch them play, and they're just firing backdoor, backhand, no-look passes, tape to tape, no
just
problem.
Dirty backhand sauce through the leg, shelf on Calgary, 7-2 wins, just to finish off the season.
Not to name anything specifically. But
Vietnam flashbacks, chopper sounds. But, I don't know. It's good for them. It's disappointing that's the biggest headline out of Vancouver this year.
Yeah.
But it's a headline. We'll
take it. You
know
what? Yeah. At the very worst, it's a PR move, and people are happy that the Sedins are with the organization. At the very best, they are there to learn the business, take over, and really, like, do something for that organization that gave them a lot. So.
Well, yeah. Look at Luongo, right? He goes into Florida as a special advisor to the GM. And, like, what, 2 years later, he's GMing Team Canada to the World Championship gold. Totally. So.
Depending on how Bill Zito does, who knows? He could be Luongo could be the next guy in Florida too. Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. It's so cool. Like, obviously, us growing up, like there was a group of players that were in the NHL and we were watching them play, and now they're all retiring, and like the older guys have retired long ago. The younger guys, when we started watching, are now retiring. So. It's really cool to see them all step into different roles. Like, obviously, like, we grew up watching the Sedins, right? I grew up watching the Sedins, and I fucking loved the Sedins. They were so much fun to watch. And now to see them, like, still in hockey and still, like, contributing in some way is so cool. And I'm excited to see that. You know, it's really, like, the first group of players that we know, like, giving back to that, the sport of hockey. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Well, it's like, like, Yzerman, Sakic both did the same things.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely Chris Drury's doing it now.
Yeah.
He's like,
New York Rangers.
Is he not in LA? Oh, no, he's in Rangers.
New York.
Yeah.
Rob Blake in LA.
Rob Blake, that's what I was thinking of.
Luke Robitaille in LA.
A lot of these guys, Alex Burrows is on his way up.
Totally.
We didn't even talk about Montreal winning without their coach.
Yeah, true.
I don't even know when he's coming back. I think he's back soon. But
Ducharme? Yeah. No idea.
Not a clue.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Obviously, it didn't matter.
Yeah. Though, no.
It's, I think, the real thing.
Yeah, I think Alex Burrows is... I mean, like, everything everybody's, like, all his past teammates have said about him and everything is... He thinks the game like a coach, basically.
Totally.
And, I mean, he's been to every level, like, literally. So, who knows, like, how every player is handling different things better than him. Yeah,
it's so interesting because I think we've touched on this before, but usually it's not the best players in the world that make the best coaches. Obviously, Gretzky's tenure as a coach didn't really go as planned, right? So, it's cool to see these, like, third, fourth line players making contributions as coaches later in their careers.
One last thing, I think, in terms of, like, the third round. News came out that Alec Martinez was playing on a broken foot for, like, multiple games. And, like, nuts. If he wasn't on the ice, he was being wheeled around everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucked. I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, like, rehabilitating from a broken foot, just walking or, like moving, getting to where you are, it sounds horrible.
As someone who's broken their foot, it fucking sucks. Yeah. I couldn't do anything, let alone fucking play NHL hockey.
Yeah, yeah, man. It's nuts. These guys will do anything to perform and be on the ice for the playoffs. So
the only one thing I can say is hopefully it wasn't, like, any brain-hurting medication that he was taking that, like, fried him, basically. Yeah. Hopefully if he was taking anything, which I'm assuming he was, some sort of painkillers, that they were as natural as possible. Because there's been some stories, you know, we hear, like, interviews with guys like, oh yeah, I was taking this and this, a shot of this in this period, a shot of this in this period, and
now I can't move my feet.
And and now it's just like, now they're being sued.
Yeah, no, totally.
Well, we can go to Seattle now.
Yeah. No, that's not it. But there was something else.
Oh, it comes back. We'll jump back to it.
Yeah. Seattle Kraken named their first ever franchise head coach in Dave Haxtell.
Yeah.
He was the coach in Philly for a couple years. And then most recently an assistant coach, basically teaching the defense for Toronto this year.
Yeah.
So, interesting choice. Like, definitely wasn't on any, like, the front runners or, like, all the media speculation. He wasn't really on that list either. So.
No. They kept it very quiet. I've heard Ron Francis is a very quiet guy. He likes to keep his business to himself and, like, to the people around him and not kind of leak it to the media. But, yeah, it was really interesting. You were hearing names like Gallant and Dave Tippett, Rick Tocchet, like, those guys out there, right? And then all of a sudden, like, last day, a couple days before they announced, like, it was Haxtell's name kind of came into the picture, and we were like, oh, like, this could be a possibility, and then turns out it was. So, him and Francis were together in the 2018 World Championship?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, where he was the coach for that team, and Francis was the GM, I think. So, they know each other, they've worked together before. Obviously, Ron Francis likes Haxtell as a coach, so... it'll be interesting. I was listening to an interview with him, and he was saying how he's, like, super excited about what his roster looks like, and somebody asked, like...
The one guy that's on the roster right now?
No. Yeah.
I really like that one guy. He was the reason I decided to apply.
somebody asked him, like, how he decides to build a team, and he was like, oh, like, I can build a team, like, any way you want. Like, all our strategies will basically be... like, dependent on the roster.
They're pretty fluid.
Yeah, if we're a big team, we're going to be gritty. If we're a small team, we're going to be skilled, like, all that kind of stuff. So, it's really cool to hear, and, like, that's the kind of stuff you need in, like, this day and age in hockey.
Of course.
So, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, the turnover is very high, and especially a team with literally zero players on it, you kind of need that. You don't want a John Tortorella guy, because if the guys that are available to be picked don't fit that style, we've seen that Torts doesn't change it. And
totally.
A lot of those coaches, I mean, fair enough, they made the NHL with their system, so it's not like they're going to really change anything moving forward. But if you can get a coach who can have pretty fluctuating standards and systems and everything in place, then, I mean, that's only going to bring you more success.
Yeah.
Old school coaching does not cut it anymore.
No.
We've seen it year after year after year, and it's like it's definitely getting worse and worse and worse. We've seen a lot of good coaches fall or lose their reputation just in the past 4 or 5 years, even legends of the game. So, yeah, it's definitely that coaching aspect has changed dramatically and needs to be treated that way. So, good thing that they recognize that.
Yeah. The other thing that I wanted to touch on, obviously we talked about Wayne Gretzky being hired as an analyst for TNT. Mark Messier is going to be joining him.
Really?
Yeah.
No way. I didn't hear that.
Dude, so wicked.
That's going to be kind of cool.
That's a pretty good answer to the NBA TNT one. Jeez, yeah, that's right? Actually not bad.
Two
good
really start. Big names that, I mean, I don't know how, like, well charismatic.
Spoken, or, like, yeah, they'll well be on spoken. Camera. Pardon yeah. me.
Mess, I could see, like, being super out there.
Yeah.
But Gretz, I don't know. Like, Gretzky seems, like, super quiet to me. So it'll be interesting to see him kind of, like, show his personality.
Yeah.
Personality.
It'll see how it translates to the screen. Because obviously the names are there, right? Yeah. Like, they've got the initial appeal of big guys coming to join for them, but yeah, we'll see. Because not, I mean, everybody's different. Not everybody can translate it to the TV. And just because you scored 3,000 points in 1,000 games,
every single time
doesn't mean you can talk on TV.
Yeah. Every single time I see BXA, I want him to be on that different network. Now we talked about it that one time, and now every time I see him, I'm like, man, it looks like such a good fit, and I just wish they had someone. Fun, and he just, I mean, I wish he had a little more, like, leeway, too. Like, I bet you on TNT, like, here's the reins, like, do whatever you want sort of deal, instead of driving the bus the way they do with Ron McLean.
You know who would be, like, a perfect, like, translation from Charles Barkley and Shaq? And they've both done it. Kevin Bieksa and Ryan Kessler.
Yeah.
Like, they'd be the most dynamic duo. Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
Like, sure, they're not the huge names, but, like... Overall,
they've been around the league.
Yeah, the names will bring you in for the first time to watch it, but the overall product is what's going to keep you coming around. Totally.
Yeah.
So we'll see how they go. But that's, I mean, good for TNT. They're definitely
totally
shelling out the money. Right. Definitely,
yeah, they're paying them something.
But yeah.
It's so interesting because like you get guys like Bieksa, who obviously wasn't like a household name. He was a great defenseman, but he wasn't like. Superstar wasn't putting up points, so he's not necessarily like the big name defenseman in the NHL, but he is one hell of a broadcaster. So
that 2011 Canucks team is just full of different roles that the guys are still playing.
Yeah,
fucking everybody's doing something.
Yeah,
they went far. They were definitely a special group. That run was pretty remarkable.
Last Canadian team to play in the finals.
Yep. Yeah.
Till this year. So.
About 4,000 days ago or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been, almost probably about 4,000 days. It's been probably 3,700 or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll find the number.
I forgot to mention this earlier, but Joel Armia was placed on COVID.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, shit.
So
He's
a game time decision for game one. Oh. So we don't know yet if he's playing, but. That's not a huge blow to Montreal. I think he's playing third line?
Some of that, yeah.
Yeah, so...
They're pretty...
Yeah, they could slot another guy.
Yeah, they're pretty even in minutes divided between, like, their bottom six especially.
Yeah.
They kind of just have six guys down there instead of a third and a fourth line.
Yep. And then, did we touch on ticket prices?
No, not yet.
Man. No, it's a humdinger, folks.
It's a humdinger for sure. So, in Fuck Tampa... Me.
You're going to need to win about 55 Hosers panel giveaways. And,
maybe you can buy a nosebleed seat. But in Tampa, the cheapest ticket is $388 US. So, not bad. Like, it's pretty expensive. What you would expect for the
Cup finals final. Ticket. Like,
yeah, it makes sense. In Montreal... $4,473 is the cheapest ticket.
And can we get a number on how many seats they got? Is that easy enough to find?
I think it's like 3,000, but I could be wrong. They might have upped it.
Like, there's no excuse for the markup, right? Like,
I mean, kind of.
To be fair, it's like the demand. Like, so many people want to go, and the supply is so small.
Yeah.
That like I honestly thought this was gonna happen. Like, because the NFL came back with like. Little bit of crowds, and the NHL came back. I thought the ticket prices were going to go through the roof because everybody wants to go see a hockey game, but there's only 5,000 seats. So I thought ticket prices would be like four times as much as they were before, but I guess we're just seeing it now.
Mm-hmm.
Two things breaking. You can come back to me with the number when you find it. One, NHL draft in 2022 will be in Montreal.
Oh, that's fuck exciting. Me.
So they just moved the 2020 to 2022 in Montreal. Cool.
That's good. And then... the Tampa Bay Lightning will play an outdoor game against the Nashville Predators next year in Nashville.
Cool. Sick.
Yeah, that's insane.
That would be a nice arena for Nashville. Fuck. Where would they do
How do they even do that?
What?
Isn't it, like, hot always in Nashville?
I mean, they played it in L.A. They've played it, like, everywhere now.
I guess, yeah.
We'll make it work.
Yeah.
That used to be shit, but we'll make
some
mad
just don't play it at noon in fucking Lake Tahoe, and maybe you'll have ice instead of water.
Yeah, fair.
They don't have...
See, I can never find these numbers.
There's apparently a rumors that Montreal Canadiens, like arena employees, have gotten emails saying that they're going to raise it to 10,500.
I heard there's a raise coming full, but that's...
Yeah, cool. The St. Quebec allowed the Habs to boost attendance to 3,500. That was against Vegas, though, so...
Right.
So right now it's at 35.
That's where we stand. Okay.
But we still have, 5 days until Game 3 happens? So, I mean, hopefully that 10,500 comes and gets approved
at
and it's
least,
real.
I thought at least 10 or 8,000. Like, God, it'd be such a shame. And, like, you're just watching your money be pissed away. If you're the NHL, if you're the city of Quebec, that kind of doesn't make sense. They're going to riot and turn the place inside out anyway. You're not even going to turn a profit on, like, a 10,000 seats. It doesn't really make sense. I get the rules are different up here. I get it. And, like...
But I don't, at the same time.
But I don't anymore, at the same time. Like, at a certain point, you got to stop being so fucking stubborn and look around the rest of North America and what they're doing. And, gosh, I just think, what are the odds we could even make it? A Canadian team made it to the Stanley Cup Final. And you're going to... And it's Montreal, one of the biggest markets in Original Six... And we're not going to let them have a full, not even close to a full arena. Yeah. Everyone else has one. It's just weird.
3,500 would be disappointing for sure.
Yeah.
Like, far it's, disappointing.
It honestly bums me out just seeing those things. Like, it bums me out just seeing, like, I know the crowd's there. I can't hear them. I'm maybe a little.
But
I know they're there, but it really bums me out. When I first turn on the game, I always see those big, stupid things over the seats. It's been too long. Sorry, that's it.
Like, when Tampa won Game 7 and, like, the fans were on their feet for, like, the last 5 minutes. Like, the place was rocking. Yeah. It was so cool. And it's like, this seems like a playoff atmosphere.
Yeah.
Also, the first game in Vegas, I remember, like, the pictures coming out of the barn in Vegas and all the lights that all the fans have and just how crazy. And they're like, you imagine not playing in a full arena for, like, I don't know, what, 9 or 12 months, whatever the hell it was.
And then
you walk into that for a playoff game. And they're like, I wonder how they'll do. And they did okay. Not to mention... that game was on at my work. I turned on the sound for it, and like, Canada was loud. Oh, Canada was loud. They had like a good amount of fans there. They had a nice couple big rowdy sections. Like, I was pretty surprised, and obviously massive underdogs, it felt like. So, it was cool to see, and it's such a shame to not see that at home. It's hard to wrap my head around it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's weird. Don't get that one.
I will just clean up. I kind of just threw it in there, but Minnesota and St. Louis are also getting an outdoor game.
Yo.
And then they announced the All-Star Games in Vegas this year.
Nice.
So that's a great spot.
That's nice.
I really like it.
Make it flashy. Make it showtime. Make it right.
Yeah.
You know what, too? I really, really think they need to make that something people give a shit about again.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but there's got to be a way. I just feel like right now it's like one of the biggest jokes in the world.
Especially to the players.
When I was a kid, it was like one of the most exciting things of the year. I used to like the YouTube clips were like epic, and I was watching over and over for like 10 years at least.
Yeah.
And I had my favorites. And nowadays, it's like a joke, and nobody tries. And like it's almost like a shame when it's on TV at my work. I'm like, God, like pay attention to a few things, hardest shot, maybe shooters. But even they're barely trying. Or like sometimes I barely know the names, so they just gotta clean something up. They've made the games exciting before too. I remember it. They've put in some money. They've put it up into different divisions. They've done things.
They need to bring back that draft.
Yeah, the 1 year.
Oh, yeah. Phil Kessel was years.
Okay, yeah.
That was dope.
Yeah, it was unreal.
Yeah, friendships were made and broken.
Yeah.
Sedins played against each other.
Yeah. It's a lot like, I mean, I think like all the major sports, their all-star games are kind of just...
Dipping.
Thrown to the wayside a little bit. It's just like, I mean, the MLB ones this week... Couldn't tell you anything other than the Home Run Derby. They just play another baseball game.
Yeah.
Like, the Home Run Derby is cool because it's like, you know, it just takes, like, probably the best aspect of baseball and it just puts the biggest guys against each other.
The most exciting to watch.
I think they do the best with theirs just on solely on the fact that it impacts who gets home ice in the... Or, fuck.
Home ice, yeah, it was fine.
Home field, sorry.
Yeah.
In the finals, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I find that kind of cool. Like, you are actually playing for something pretty fucking important, especially as All-Stars. Most of the guys out there probably respect that it matters to a good amount of people on the team. So
yeah, that's
that's actually wicked. Like, that's one of my favorite things about baseball, I think, is that they do that with the All-Star game. I found that out, like, a couple years ago, and I was like, no way, that's, like, going to be the coolest All-Star thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
The only problem is this, if you're playing for a team that's 10-73, and you're like, hey, we get home field.
You're kind of showing up. Yeah. Like, yeah, I get that. Like, everybody won't be on board, but you never know. Plus, like, I don't know what it's like. Don't they usually get, like, a good handful from the major teams on, like, isn't that kind of how their All-Stars go? Like, the Yankees sound know. Like,
yeah,
I don't pay attention, but
yeah,
I thought
sure.
they had good handfuls from the good teams. Anyway, fuck it.
I think a couple things. They got to remove the one guy per team thing.
Yeah.
Especially if they're going to do a 3-on-3 tournament. That's literally, like, one guy from every team, and then it's like, well, great.
There's so many bummer guys. And then you're like, just like, oh, I got to watch, like, Brent Burns. Like, you know what I mean? Guys are just, turning into burnouts and stuff, and you're like, there's probably, like, decent people.
Or it's
people.
Like, when it was in St. Louis, and you had, like, Perron, O'Reilly, like, Bennington, and fucking, I guess Petrangelo deserved to be there, but, you know, it's just like, really, like, why am I watching all these guys? Just because they're the host team? Like, I only get to watch McKinnon and not Rantanen, or, you know, just, like, one, or, like, Tampa can only send one guy because the Detroit Red Wings and Ottawa Senators need to send somebody when they have 30 points on the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus, there's so much young talent. And, like, that's just obviously so flashy. Like, so many guys, Matthews, Pettersson, Barzal, so many of these guys at Caulfield are just, like, actually crazy talented. Johnny Gaudreau. Like, how come we don't see, like, this epic lineup of Shiro guys or danglers when it comes to be their turn? We see, like, a couple of guys where you're like, that they have to win. And then there's, like, four guys that are, like, three tiers below them.
And a defenseman.
And you don't expect anything from that. Like, if you get anything, you're like... You're, like, doing a little pity clap, but it's just, like, it's not entertaining.
Yeah.
And you're like, where is everyone's, like, all the names I want to see?
Like, I think they'd be cool. Like, they vote for divisional captains, which is cool. Like, for, like, the captains of the division.
True.
But it doesn't really do anything. They just get an automatic bid. They should do that, plus, like, the top two guys should be captain and assistant, and then they do a four-team draft. And they can do the same system they do now. It's not horrible. Like, it's just a cool three-on-three thing.
Yeah.
Another thing other sports do that the NHL should do is they bring in guys who are not elected to the All-Star game to do certain competitions. Like, you don't have to be in the NBA All-Star game to do the dunk contest. Or, like, you don't have to be in the MLB All-Star game to do the home run contest.
Yeah,
right.
Bring it's in, just, like, a hardest shot specialist.
Yeah, like, these guys who, like, Anthony Beauvillier is fucking fast as shit. He's not going to make an All-Star game, but he should come for the All-Star, the fastest skate. Or, like the MLB just does home run derby. I'm pretty sure it's just top 10-ish, top 12 in home runs currently. And they ask the top 12 guys, you guys want to come? If somebody says no, they just go to 13.
Mm-hmm.
So the home run derby is just the top home run hitters at the point, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys deserve to be in a home run derby.
Yeah, totally. No, makes sense.
Doesn't mean they're the best players in the league, though. And
no, exactly. They're good at this one skill. Like, if they do top 8 guys in assists right now get to do the passing one where they got to chuck it over the thing and ended up in the little nets.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And the All-Star teams are completely different. The game is completely different.
Yeah.
It's not those guys.
You could be the fastest skater in the All-Star game, but if you're not, you're just in one of them.
Yeah.
Imagine even if they, like, especially with the technology they have now, if they could pull up, like, the fastest they've been going.
Yeah.
Like, recorded all season, and then you kind of see what you're working with.
Yeah.
And then, it'll amp you up. You'll actually know what these guys are capable of, big name or not. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Hey, Gary, we know you're listening.
Yeah.
Excuse me. This is a great idea. Let's do this.
Yeah, probably not top of your list to spice up the All-Star game, but I definitely would appreciate it, and it would mean a lot to the young Ty.
Well, yeah, we were watching the like we said, the Bettman and Bill Daly press conference, and helmet ads are coming back, which I got no problem with.
No.
Fair enough.
You do not notice them at all unless you're really looking for them. When they cut to a player.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot notice them when the play's going. You got the far back camera.
Not at all.
And if you're looking at that, like, whatever. It's usually, like, white, which is, like, matching their jersey against, like, a blue helmet or whatever.
Yeah, also, the company's also paid $500,000 to get those ads on the helmets. So,
that thing is horrible because nobody notices them. So
yeah.
I mean, and, like, they also said jersey advertisements not on this upcoming year.
Nice.
But, I mean, I think they're doing it right with the advertising. They said they're going to bring it back because they ran a survey. It's not hurting the viewership. Like, no, if they were losing people to watch the game because they were such a distraction, then they might think about it again, which I think they might do. They most likely will bring in jersey advertisements at some point.
At some point,
But, I mean, it's going to look bad the first year probably, but after that you just realize it's part of the jersey.
Totally.
Like, you ever watch an NBA game, it's just like, oh yeah, they got like Sun Life Financial on the shoulder. I'm not like, ew, like get that shit off. And they'll probably do the same thing. They'll bring it in for 1 year and then they'll get all these survey numbers, and they got a gazillion dollars to run in advertisements and surveying and everything like that to see if people are actually turning off the game due to that.
Totally.
And, yeah.
Well, at the end of the day, if we get NHL hockey because of this stuff, I think I'm all for it. I don't really care. Like, the
it betters the game. Yeah, you can't complain.
Well, too much. And it just adds revenue to the league, and it allows them to continue to play.
Yeah.
Like without it, with COVID, like they'd be like, I mean, these guys make shitloads of money, the owners. Anyways, they're obviously, some of them are going out of pocket this year specifically because it's been tough. But like, if it isn't, like, without it, the owners would shut it down and they probably wouldn't want to play.
Yeah, and they're not going to go full European style where, like, you literally don't know what's a logo and what's an advertisement.
Yeah, no.
And all this stuff. They might just do like a like quick chest patch or a shoulder patch or whatever, something small.
Like in minor hockey, you got it on the bottom under the numbers or something like that.
A little big bar.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's just bulky, and like, you got a white jersey, the bar's black, and it's like this random company. It's like, that's me.
Yep,
that's me skating around there.
Funny. And individuals can start paying for advertisements on specific players' jerseys.
Sports coming back from COVID, from a sport-free world for months at a time. Everyone coming back. It's really important to obviously, like, everyone's gonna need the money. Everyone's spending extra money. Everyone is. And that's such a small ad for the money. So we lived in a world where there was no sports, and with it all coming back, and then needing the extra money, I'm all for it. At this, like, I'd bend before I'd stand up. Before COVID, I'd be like, oh, you don't need this shit. Now I'm like, all right, like, I've been hurt. Don't ever take away my sports again. Well, get all the money you need.
It's like 80% of the time, those helmet ads just look like glare with the lights. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, oh no, that actually just says Bell or whatever. You know, it's just.
But I just like teams that make them look good too. I don't know why. It's like a little side note in my brain. I'm always like, oh, well done.
Well,
like,
done.
the shit mat like lines up. It almost looks like a third logo. It's like, ah, Cal Tire, you bitch.
Cal Tire, you
something
bitch.
Random, right? So I don't mind them anymore.
Too funny. That's great. Lastly, I had a note here. Charlotte Checkers will be shared by both the Seattle Kraken and the Florida Panthers this year as the AHL affiliate. So Seattle announces that their affiliate will be Charlotte. So
cool.
That'll be interesting. I'm confused. I didn't really read on it, but like, Charlotte was Carolina's AHL affiliate this year, right? And Florida shared Syracuse with Tampa. So big moves. I don't really know what's going on there with the AHL.
They always are changing, but I don't understand why they would move out of Carolina to be right beside Carolina.
Yeah.
Like, and then go somewhere else.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyways, just thought I'd share because it's Seattle Kraken news.
Oh, Kraken stuff.
In non-hockey news, it's fine.
They opted out of this season.
Who did?
The Charlotte Checkers. They were one of three AHL teams that opted out of the 2020-2021 season.
Oh, okay. So then, who's Carolina's AHL affiliate this year? Nobody?
Well, it's got to be somebody.
Or they shared with somebody?
They did share with somebody. Chicago Wolves is who it was. So I don't know if it'll be them still?
Yeah, that's
what happens, but
it's kerfuffles in the AHL. Who really knows?
Yeah.
Anyways, that's all I've got. How are you fellas doing for notes?
I'm pretty good. I got a pretty good funny one here. Okay, what's worse, Buffalo's entire season this year or Patrick Kane's Uber rating? That one just got me a good laugh. Jesus. I had to screenshot that. I was like, no, they didn't. And I was just so happy with it. So yeah, that one gave me a good chuckle. And then I just had to pump Corey Perry's tires one more time before we're done. Yeah, so...
Back up.
He's coming back to back Stanley Cup attempts.
Yeah.
I think he's coming back with a much, much more complete and much more confident team. He's got to be more confident.
Yeah, Dallas blows. Like,
yeah.
I remember last year where, like, and it felt like even this year, like, as we're getting closer to the Cup, we keep being like, how the fuck are these guys this close? Yeah. To get this? And then like Dallas was one of those teams that made it, and you're like, how the hell? And then they didn't really stand a chance, did they? It didn't really. I can't remember how it went.
I can't remember, but
not really.
No, it was pretty convincing. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, as we thought, they went down. I think they had goalie troubles at the end. Like the team just, as I remember, they just weren't falling
apart. They kind of just fell apart.
They didn't have anything, no answer for the end. So I think now he's got a way better shake this time. So
yeah,
I thought that was an interesting one because I totally forgot until I read that. And yeah, let's see if him and his new nose can get her done.
New nose.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like Vegas is such a good team, but then in the third round they've lost to Dallas and Montreal. It's like, what happened, guys?
Composure. They just can't. Yeah.
You know what's funny though? If they're not careful, even though it's the third round, they might get that stigma, that losing, that choking stigma.
Well, they're
pretty close to that,
and they're not a young team, and they're up against the cap. So like, I mean, this is their window. Like they've quickly so fast ended their window in like a couple years. That they got to get something going because,
yeah, or all of a sudden you blow up the second line, you blow up the, I guess second line, get that second line out of there, blow up the decor a little bit. You got like Petrangelo is the only guy that stays, and
probably Theodore as well. He's got a good contract. Yeah,
that Suzuki Pacioretty trade too. Like the more that series closed out, the closer it got to the end.
Yeah.
The more I was shaking my head, like I can't believe it, that it's looking the way it's looking right now.
When it happened, it was a great trade. I loved it for both teams. Right now, yeah, in Vegas
could have used that ELC.
Completely closed their window.
Yeah.
With that trade, yeah, they definitely could have used Suzuki. Arguably, Suzuki was better than Pacioretty in that series.
Yeah.
Right? And
they traded
Pacioretty for Tatar Suzuki in a second.
Yeah. Man, he had a bunch of great plays and like just played his ass off for sure. Did you? Oh, what was that one he did? He makes his way to the net, might have got around everybody, and like he like spinoramas to himself, almost gets the goalie. Like he had like three attempts, and the third whack was like a spinorama, like and Fleury stuck out the pad, or maybe it was Leonard, but I couldn't believe it. I was like, the first and second were impressive, and the third, I was like, how does he have the wear? It looks like he totally loses the puck and he turns around and like smacked it. I can't know how the goalie got it, but I'm really impressed with this kid. Like, I can't believe it. And I was impressed with Pacioretty all year too. I thought again, he was like putting up. He just scores. He just fucking scores. And I was like, he's getting old. I don't know if he'll do what he's been doing the 30 goal years or whatever, but it looked like he was going to be able to do it what they needed, and he couldn't close out. So I'm surprised, but Montreal to the end here, we'll see.
I got one final question about Vegas. Do you think, because of their exit again in the third round, they are in on Eichel this offseason?
I don't think they have the money or even the parts to give back.
Yeah, the parts is a big one, I would say. They could move money.
They can make money. Done. Yeah.
So that's like $4 million off the books.
Just like most teams can.
We're talking about Vegas and Eichel?
Yeah.
Fleury's contract is a big one. They could move Fleury.
Yeah.
There's got to be takers somewhere for that.
Cody Glass is a big piece that could be moved, but like
he can't be a primary piece in an Eichel trade. No. And they're all their firsts.
Alex Tuch?
Yeah. And like all their draft picks are not high picks, so it's not like you're gonna get anything. Especially like, let's take a chance on next year. Maybe they plummet. Yeah. They're in the Pacific.
You know what's crazy?
It's not gonna happen.
I don't like. I find him not the most enticing thing.
Jack
like,
Eichel.
Yeah, like my team's up in talks for him, and you know what? Every single day I hear another trade rumor about a different player to Calgary.
Yeah.
Every fucking day. I heard one about Matthew just wanting out. I've heard one about Johnny wanting out years ago. I've heard Monahan's name way more than I thought so far this offseason for them. So, yeah, I don't know. But honestly, the more I think about it, if they make a blockbuster deal for this guy, fuck, I'd be shitting my pants. Like, I wouldn't be excited. It's pretty scary. He hasn't really been very healthy. He's been in a weird spot.
He's so good when he's healthy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm not denying that. I know how nonchalant he skates and how impressive he is and how he's a great leader, but it does make me nervous. Like, it's not all rainbows if you get him, and whoever gets him is paying.
You definitely need your medical team and everything to do the background check on all his neck injury, and like before you even like start discussions, you need to know everything like that.
I also just I have question marks around his character, just being, or like maybe that's the wrong way to word it, but just being in Buffalo so long, having all these injuries, he literally doesn't trust the staff there, or like he says he doesn't trust like the nutritionist or the medical staff. I mean, and it sounds like it's beyond the Buffalo Sabres. It kind of sounds like it's like he just has, he might have instilled trust issues. I don't know. Like, I don't know if this guy's, I don't know if he's not, if he's quite not a problem player. I don't know if I can say
he
that he's not.
He seems like a cancer.
Yeah.
He seems like a little bit of a cancer.
But,
but
he might need out of Buffalo. I really don't want to,
I was
going to
say, it could also be that Buffalo's, like, staff and situation and structure is just, like, crumpled this dude.
Yeah.
Where he's had different medical results, and the Sabres are just saying something totally different, and now he's like, well, I can't trust these guys.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Yeah, when I think about Vegas going for him, I'm like, like, I'm, that's a fucking gamble I don't really think you need to take, pun not intended, but that, yeah, that's, I don't know, like, I feel like a lot of teams, you can look at it, but it's like, nah, like, you know, shake your head, like, there's no way I'm risking all my biscuits on that, like, unless you're a totally suffering team, and that's why I get nervous. Calgary looks like they're, like, might want to shuffle the deck, hit the fucking red button,
yeah,
and I'm fucking scared, but.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with Vegas, like we saw, or like we were saying earlier, is they need a center. They need a like an elite centerman.
True.
In that team, and they need them kind of quick. Like, it's not like they, like you said, Mike, that their window's ending fairly quickly. Jack Eichel is an elite center. He would fit so well on that top line with Pacioretty and Stone. Like, that would be stupid to watch.
Yeah.
You throw Chandler Stephenson on a second line.
He's great.
With Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault. Trade Carlson, Tuck, Cody Glass, two firsts. I think that does it. I mean, it's not going to happen, I don't think.
No.
It's a lot to work around, and Vegas is, I think they believe in their team, but I think both teams would be happy with that. I don't know. I think
If all the medical stuff checks out and what, like, Buffalo's currently doing and Eichel's, like, price, I find it hard to believe any team trading for Eichel would lose that deal.
Yeah. Agreed.
If the medical stuff all checks out.
Yeah, if he can play.
Like, if you trade him and it's, like, he's done. He plays 1 year and he's done. Like, his neck is fucked up, then obviously you lose that deal. But if the medical questions are fine, like, obviously, if it's like, oh, he comes back, it's like, yeah, his neck's actually fine, then he goes and breaks his leg and he's done for his career, then obviously you didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I knew.
But, like, if the current stuff all checks out, I find it hard to believe that Buffalo gets overpaid for Jack Eichel.
No, agreed. You know where he needs to go? He needs to go to a team that already has a number one guy. Already has a guy that they can look to. Doesn't have to be better than Eichel, but just has to be... No, you don't want him in Colorado.
They have so many contracts coming up that it's just like...
Yeah.
It does not...
He just can't be that guy. He can't be their, like, go-to anymore because, like, the pressure gets to him and he's not... He never matured to the point where he could handle it.
No, it was, like, put on him for too long, for too often as well. Like, you saw it a lot with Taylor Hall. It was like, Kate, come on, like, help us, help us. And everywhere he's like, I can't fucking do everything, not let alone, like, try every single year on, like, mutt teams that have nothing going for
him. Yeah, now he's in Boston and it's a great fit because so he's the second line player.
Just need a real cast and a couple other people. And people, he needs someone you can look up to because he's never had that.
Yeah, exactly. He needs somebody to help him, like, grow into a player, whereas he's just kind of done it all himself, and it's not working.
I think he could still be a number one center, like, obviously, like, an elite number one center. I think he just needs a 1B option, like...
Totally.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a,
like,
team
the,
that it
the
could
Malkin
be.
The Malkin Crosby thing. Like, how, look how good that works. Like,
well, just, like, 1A and 1A, though.
Well, yeah, but that's... He's an A wherever he goes. Oh, yeah. Like,
in
so...
Buffalo, though, like, you throw him out there, and every team is going to put their best forwards on that guy to shut him down. Like, he's got all of the tough oppositions.
He is their game plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing else you need to look out for.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is it, like, you throw him in Vegas, man, and he doesn't play with Stone and Pacioretty? Like, those two lines, like the Eichel or Stone and Pacioretty line, like, that's scary as fuck because you have one of those two guys on, like, against the lesser line.
Oh, scary. You're making a lot of sense. He's sounding better and better, but he's just nerve-wracking as shit.
Yeah, no, fair. There's so many
questions. I'd love to, like, hear from fans and just know, like, if he's going, who's your team? And if he went there, you can say what you think he would go for too. But, like, do you want him? Like, do you want your whole trajectory to change? Are you ready for that as a fan of whatever team you're a fan of? Because he can go to a lot of teams. And, like, I'm just, as I'm thinking, what I've seen them build, I don't know, like, it would be so hard to watch it all shift on this one player, to me, as a question mark.
You know who would be a good fit?
Go ahead.
They got tons of cap space, as long as the owners allow it to go increasing. They have decent prospects and picks they can trade, but Florida.
Yeah.
Like him and Barkov down the middle.
Yeah, that'd be disgusting.
That'd be scary.
It'd be
not to mention Ekblad coming back.
Don't put that out there. I don't want to see
that'd
it in Florida.
That'd be so cool.
I don't want to see it.
But they have huge, like, forward prospects they could easily park because their forward core is unbelievable already.
Yeah, there's so many.
And, I mean, their defense still needs a little help, but, I mean, they have a pretty solid defense now.
They got a lot of little contracts that they could give, too, that would look enticing.
And, like, their owner's, like, putting their own cap in, so they've got space.
Yeah.
Shit. That's a good one. Fuck yeah. Okay, I'm good on the Eichel train. How you guys doing?
Yeah.
I like that Florida one, though. That was a good one.
I'm good, man. This is great.
This was a good one. I think I'm pretty set.
Yeah, we got Bolt starting in about 10 minutes.
Fucking
Bolt's
right.
Habs, sorry. Not just Bolt. We'll give them some credit there in the Stanley Cup final. We'll start maybe respecting them a little. I think I took him in five, but, you know. He got a game.
I went from bashing Price all year and my whole life to just fucking stroking him off the
entire.
Well,
that's what he does, though, right? He has, like, this crazy stretch, which somehow then lives on for 8 years of how he's, like, the best goalie ever. And then now that, like, the doubts are, like, finally setting in everybody's minds, he just plays out of his mind again.
His knuckles.
So it'll be another 10 years of this where he gives 908 goals, or, sorry, 908 save percentage. And he's, like, the best goalie in the world.
Yeah. Goalies must just love it. They're, like, they're seeing those paychecks go up. Like, we're worth it. We're worth it.
Yeah.
10 mil's worth it.
Yeah.
A few goalies, not many.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's wrap her up. Episode 28.
In the books.
In the books.
Congrats again to Raheem for winning the giveaway.
Yeah,
and
thanks for coming on, Raheem.
Yeah, we'll post the video of that win and everything and everything together, so.
Yeah.
Enjoy the Stanley Cup Finals starting real soon, guys.
We got, what, 2 episodes left inside the Cup Finals, and it's expansion draft and draft talk.
When's the expansion again?
21st.
Fucking right. I ask every epi.
Every episode.
Just to make sure you guys are
clockwork.
Yeah.
Are up to date. All right, awesome. We'll call her for this one. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, guys.
See you, everybody.
Later, hosers.